Here's a finding that should reframe every protocol you're currently running. Alzheimer's pathology, the actual amyloid plaques and tau tangles that destroy cognitive function, can be present in the brain 10 to 30 years before a single clinical symptom appears. That means if you're in your 40s right now, the intervention window for one of the most feared diseases in human history is open today, not in retirement, today. And the same principle applies across your entire optimization stack. The most consequential targets are not the downstream symptoms your protocols are probably chasing. They're the upstream regulators sitting beneath everything else. That's what we're getting into today. Welcome to the Performance Intelligence Briefing. I'm your host, and today's signal is one of the clearest convergent patterns I've seen across multiple high-quality sources in a single day. We're calling it the upstream stack. And by the end of this, you'll have a concrete protocol to act on, a set of biomarkers to track, and one N-of-1 experiment to run this week. Let's start with the most structurally important insight from today's briefing. Dr. Mark Hyman, citing Dr. Herbert Benson of Harvard Medical School, under whom Hyman himself trained, makes a claim that sounds dramatic until you see the mechanism behind it. Stress either causes or worsens approximately 95% of all illness. That's not a wellness platitude. That's a mechanistic statement about how chronic sympathetic nervous system activation creates a cascade that undermines every other system you're trying to optimize: your gut, your hormones, your metabolism, your immune function, simultaneously. The protocol here is rooted in understanding what Dr. Scott Shear describes as the sympathetic mitochondrial loop. Here's how it runs. Chronic stress floods your system with cortisol, norepinephrine, and epinephrine. That sustained catecholamine load damages mitochondrial membranes. Damaged mitochondria produce less ATP. Lower cellular energy production amplifies the threat signal your nervous system is reading, which sustains sympathetic activation, which floods the system with more cortisol. It's a self-reinforcing loop, and it can start from either end, either a persistent external stressor driving it top-down, or pre-existing mitochondrial dysfunction driving it bottom-up. This is why so many people supplementing CoQ10 or NAD precursors see only limited, transient results. If you're not addressing the sympathetic driver, you're patching the output of a system that's running the wrong program. Building on that, Hyman makes one more point that reframes how we think about visceral fat. The sympathetic nervous system directly innervates adipose tissue. It physically hardwires fat cells to increase lipid storage under chronic stress conditions. So if you're dealing with visceral adiposity that's resistant to diet and exercise adjustments, you may not be facing a willpower deficit. You may be facing a neuroendocrine signal. That's a completely different intervention target. So what does the actual protocol look like? Hyman lays out a 5-layer ANS regulation stack, and the key is the sequencing. You start with blood sugar stabilization as the metabolic foundation. Unstable glycemia is interpreted by your nervous system as a physiological threat. It triggers sympathetic activation directly. Every meal should be structured around protein, healthy fat, and fiber. High starch dinners specifically are worth eliminating because they create the nocturnal blood glucose crash that drives that 2 to 3 a.m. cortisol-mediated waking pattern, something independently confirmed in brain health research as well. For measurement, Hyman flags a critical gap in standard lab work. Fasting glucose can appear completely normal while fasting insulin is already significantly elevated. The functional medicine target for fasting insulin is under 5 microunits per milliliter. Standard lab normals go up to 25, which Hyman describes as far too permissive for optimization purposes. Pair that with an hsCRP and target under 1 milligram per liter. Layer 2 is breathwork, and this is your highest accessibility acute intervention. The specific technique: inhale through the nose, take a brief second top-up inhale at the top, then a long, complete exhale through the mouth. The extended exhale is the functional key. It activates the parasympathetic branch via increased vagal signaling. The dose for a meaningful physiological shift is 2 minutes. Hyman's personal practice is 5 minutes every morning upon waking. Zero cost, zero equipment, zero barrier to entry. Layer 3 is resistance training, as what Hyman calls metabolic armor. Muscle tissue improves insulin sensitivity and increases mitochondrial density, which directly interrupts Shear sympathetic mitochondrial loop at its most critical junction point. More importantly, Helen and Emma on The Art of Being Well independently validate this with a specific brain health metric worth knowing. 3,000 steps per day is associated with approximately a 25% reduction in Alzheimer's risk. Not 10,000 steps, 3,000. That's a psychologically sustainable floor that almost anyone can hit. Build from there to 2 to 4 sessions of progressive resistance training per week for the full metabolic benefit. Layer 4 is sleep architecture, and Hyman is direct about this. If you don't sleep, you can't regulate. Sleep deprivation maintains sympathetic dominance in its own self-reinforcing loop. Morning light exposure anchors your circadian cortisol rhythm. Consistent bedtime matters more than duration as the primary variable. And Emma from The Art of Being Well adds the glymphatic mechanism here.
Deep sleep is when your brain's lymphatic system activates to flush amyloid beta and tau metabolic byproducts. That's the direct brain health application. Her personal protocol is dinner at 5:30 p.m., wind down at 7, target sleep at 8:30 p.m. She's used a cooling mattress for over 2 years and cites it as the single highest impact sleep hardware intervention she's found. Layer 5 is what Hyman calls safety cue architecture. Your nervous system is continuously scanning for threat versus safety inputs, and deliberate safety inputs, nature exposure, social connection, physical touch, laughter, scheduled time offline, these are not lifestyle amenities. They are biological inputs with direct ANS effects. Schedule them as protocols, not rewards. Hyman's recommended sequencing is to implement these layers progressively. Blood sugar first, then breath work, then sleep, then resistance training, then safety cues. Reassess your biomarkers at 4 weeks and again at 8 weeks against your baseline. Now let's talk about one of the most underutilized proactive biomarkers in the longevity toolkit, and one the conventional medical establishment has actively restricted access to without strong justification. Dr. Natalie Crawford, double board certified OBGYN and reproductive endocrinologist, speaking on the Huberman Lab podcast, makes the case that AMH, anti-Müllerian hormone, is not just a fertility marker. It's a systemic inflammatory signal. Here's the delta that matters. Women with infertility have statistically elevated rates of metabolic syndrome, cardiovascular events, and all-cause early mortality. But the causal direction, Crawford emphasizes, runs the other way from what most people assume. Infertility is frequently the first detectable signal of chronic inflammation or insulin resistance that will manifest as those other conditions a decade or two later.
The protocol here is straightforward. AMH serum test, available for $79 out of pocket through LabCorp Direct Order, Function Health, or any fertility clinic. It can be drawn on any day of the menstrual cycle, no special timing required. A low result triggers investigation for treatable root causes, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, insulin resistance, assessed via fasting insulin and HOMA-IR, and endometriosis. Approximately 50% of low AMH cases have an identifiable and addressable underlying condition. This is a $79 test that can open an intervention window a decade earlier than conventional medicine would ever catch the downstream signal. Building on today's upstream theme, a metabolic health physician presented a mechanistically clean, zero pharmaceutical body recomposition protocol. The core mechanism is elegant. By pushing your first meal to a noon to 1:30 p.m. target window, you create a 16 to 18-hour fasting window that suppresses fasting insulin for a sustained daily period. Modern eating culture triggers an insulin surge within 1 to 2 hours of waking through high-carbohydrate morning meals. Insulin is the fat storage hormone. Extending the fasting window keeps lipolysis dominant through the morning metabolic state. The delta in the data the physician presented is meaningful. Significant body recomposition achieved without pharmaceutical intervention using three low-cost levers: time-restricted eating, mixed modality training, and dietary quality recomposition. The practical stack runs in phases. Weeks 1 and 2, eliminate breakfast, push the first meal to 11 a.m., and track hunger, energy, and HRV. Weeks 3 and 4, extend to a noon first meal and add 3 sessions per week of 20 to 30 minutes of moderate pace running. Weeks 5 through 8, integrate 2 resistance training sessions per week and audit carbohydrate quality. Swipe white rice and refined bread for lentils, legumes, and non-starchy vegetables. Week 9 onward, maintain a minimum 16-8 fasting window and optimize protein within the eating window, targeting approximately 2.5 to 3 grams of leucine per meal to trigger muscle protein synthesis. One critical flag the physician raised: vegetarian diets are not automatically metabolically beneficial. High glycemic carbohydrates negate the insulin suppression benefit of time-restricted eating, even in otherwise healthy home-cooked meals. Running a continuous glucose monitor for 2 to 4 weeks during any dietary transition is the cleanest way to identify your personal glycemic responses. Here's your single experiment to run this week. It's low cost, high signal, and directly tests the upstream ANS framework we just laid out. Every morning this week, before coffee, before your phone, before any input from the outside world, run 5 minutes of the double inhale breathwork protocol. Inhale through the nose, top off inhale, long complete exhale through the mouth. Do it for 5 minutes. Track your HRV immediately after using your Oura, Whoop, or Garmin. Log your subjective energy and focus rating at noon each day on a simple 1 to 10 scale. By day 7, you'll have a 7-point dataset showing you exactly how your autonomic nervous system is responding to the intervention and whether morning parasympathetic priming is shifting your afternoon performance window. The most powerful interventions aren't the newest or the most expensive. They're the ones that work at the level of the system that governs everything else. Measure earlier, intervene upstream, build the structural conditions that allow every other protocol to function. Optimize your day. Talk tomorrow.